Welcome to the KWMR Airwaves, Thane. Thanks for joining me.
Thank you so much for having me, Amanda. And good morning, West Marin.
Well, welcome to West Marin. And I would love it if you could sort of tell us about yourself and your background and what brought you to Malt.
Sure. So growing up, we moved around a lot. I was born in Seattle and we lived in Alabama, Louisiana, Seattle more, Alaska, back to Seattle, moved to Texas for the last 3 years of high school and went to college there, and then came out here to California for graduate school in neurosciences in 1983, and was really on the academic track until my postdoc at UC Berkeley, where I really started going through what I call the first vocational discernment of how I wanted to use my talents for the greater good, and decided to go back to Stanford for business school and move into the biotech sector. I spent 17 years building and starting companies in life sciences with the notion of using science for ways to improve human health, better drugs, diagnostics, etc. 14 of those years were at Affymetrics, which pioneered the DNA chip industry and transformed biomedical research from looking at problems like cancer one gene at a time to whole genome analysis. From there, I was a startup CEO. I started four companies in Silicon Valley. Really enjoyed bringing teams together, setting strategy, getting things done, or GSD as a lot of people refer to it as, and the vision of the products that we and the way they would improve people's lives was really compelling to me. But at the end of the day, as a startup CEO, my primary responsibility was to maximize financial returns for venture capitalists and their limited partnerships, limited partners, and that didn't really make my clock tick. So in 2010, I had an opportunity to go to Santa Clara University and lead what later became Miller Center for Social Entrepreneurship. And I spent a decade there. It was really an amazing opportunity to work with literally 1,000 social enterprises all over the world in 100 different countries in sectors like clean energy, safe drinking water, community-based health, women's economic empowerment. And that's where I really first got exposed to a lot of the principles of sustainable agriculture. And whether it's West Marin or East Africa, the principles of community-based enterprises that provide dignified livelihoods and produce something of value, food in this case, are very similar conceptually. I made a decision to step down from Miller Center before the pandemic so I could spend more time at home where I live in Sonoma County outside of Sebastopol. And over the last year, worked with a very close friend from Santa Clara University, Dennis Lanham, who leads the Silicon Valley Executive Center, to build and launch a Black corporate board program focused on really driving racial justice in corporations. I learned about Malt a long time ago. A very good friend of mine lives on Malted property. And so when a recruiter called and said, Malt's looking for a CEO, is it something you're interested in? I said, well, I'm not a land trust guy. I'm not a conservation lawyer, but I'm really interested in how we might use this platform, this amazing platform of all this protected land, as a model for the future of food systems with a notion of regenerative and inclusive practices.
Refreshing to hear. And what a background you bring to this position here in West Marin. Thank you, Thane, for breaking it down for us. Malt has been around for a long time. What can you sort of tell folks if they aren't familiar with the history of the organization?
Sure. Thanks. Thanks, Amanda. So Malt is a pioneer. It was the first agricultural land trust in the United States. It was founded back in 1980 by Ellen Strauss, who's a well-known name in West Marin ranching, and Phyllis Faber, amazing environmentalist who I've had the opportunity to speak with several times since I joined Malt 4.5 months ago. And what they did is really bring together a broad coalition of ranchers, environmentalists, and other community leaders with a very, very clear vision of protect the land, preserve Marin's agricultural community, and promote local food. And I think all of us can look at the open space in Marin County and say, without Malt and the coalition that came together, Marin might very well look like Malibu. So Malt was extraordinarily successful. Over half of the vulnerable agricultural land, over 54,000 acres, is permanently protected using a tool we call an agricultural conservation easement. That land includes creeks, streams, wetlands, forested habitat, as well as grasslands. And as a result of that work and many other community leaders, there's been a blossoming of local food and the connection of that food to consumers and the consumers to the land. So on the protected land, there's artisan cheese, dairy, eggs, meat, fruits and vegetables, wool, really bringing in the concept of a fiber shed as well as a food shed, honey, flowers, and most recently, through our partnership with Hog Island, oysters.
Yeah, that is really interesting. Can you talk a little bit about the involvement with oysters?
Sure. So our latest conservation easement is with Hog Island Oyster Company, and they had purchased the historic Leale Ranch, which is just across Highway 1 from Hog Island Oyster in Marshall. And we purchased a conservation easement from them, which helps them practice mariculture, the culture of marine organisms, and support that work. Oysters are a really, really interesting food source. They're filter feeders. They're actually removing excess nutrients from the marine water, and they're very, very high in micronutrients. So if you think about them from a food perspective, they're a very high quality source of protein all around the world, and we know exactly where they come from. One of the things that really attracted us to the partnership with Hog Island is their focus on what we think of as circular practices. So along with the culture of oysters in Tomales Bay, seaweed grows on the baskets that are used for culturing the oysters. And Hog Island is using that that seaweed to stimulate the growth of more forage on grazing lands on Leale Ranch, and also as a food food itself. Seaweed is a very good source of micronutrients. They're taking oyster shells, grinding those up, and using them for calcium, so that the eggs that chickens lay are nice and strong, and just really thinking about how these systems in the land and sea for food production fit together. So that's very much in line with the direction that Malt had set even before I came, about how we can be good companions to those who are stewarding the land on their journey towards more sustainable food systems, both environmentally and economically.
I just want to let folks know, if you're just tuning in, that you're listening to Swimming Upstream. I'm Amanda Eichstadt, and I'm having the opportunity today to talk to Malt, the Marin Agricultural Land Trust new executive director. He's been on the job a little over 4 months, Thane Kreiner. Thane, where is Malt now after preserving so much farmland in West Marin? And sort of on top of that, like, what are the current top priorities as you are moving this organization forward?
Yeah. So I think I like to sort of zoom out and say, where are we as the human species, and where is the world? Last week, the IPCC released its sixth report on climate change, and we're all aware, we can see it with our own eyes, that climate change is accelerating. We're in the worst drought in at least 50, if not 100 years. And while we'd like to say it's a historic drought, what that report tells us is that these kinds of conditions are going to happen more and more frequently. Dry areas are going to get drier. Places that are hot are going to get hotter. Places that are wet are going to get a lot wetter. So Malt responded, 2 weeks after I joined, we launched a drought resilience and water security program to help ranchers and farmers in West Marin, whether they're on malted land or not, implement long-term water security solutions. And I'm really heartened that the board initially allocated $250,000 to support that program, and then more recently, a second $250,000. So we're investing $500,000 in long-term water security solutions in West Marin. And the bigger question in terms of our priorities is really, how do we create resilience to climate change, and how do we mitigate climate change through agriculture? And we share a belief, and there's already a lot of work going on in West Marin at places like Stemple Creek with rotational grazing and carbon farming, and Point Reyes Farmstead Cheese with biogas digestion and Strauss Family Creamery to move beef and dairy towards carbon neutral or even carbon negative. But to accelerate that kind of work and to help us at Malt and our board understand what we can do to help the people working on the land be better stewards of it, we brought on our first director of science and regenerative agriculture, Lottie Osgill, just a few weeks ago. And so our intention is to work with the community and our partners, Marin RCD, the county, the UC Cooperative Extension, to pilot and scale regenerative agricultural practices on protected land. The second thing happening, you know, in the broader context of the world, of course, that we're all acutely aware of with the rise of the Delta variant is the pandemic. And one of the impacts on that locally was that a lot of the food producers were really negatively impacted economically because restaurant buying and tourism declined dramatically. I think globally, the pandemic really highlights the need for us to build resilient local food systems all around the world. So what Malt has done is support local food producers to reach alternative consumers during the pandemic. And the question that we're asking strategically now is, how can we strengthen the Bay Area food and fiber shed and better connect the Bay Area consumers of food and fiber to the land where this is produced? And then the third thing that I'll just mention is sort of a global trend that's affecting where we are as a human species is the deepening awareness of the depth of racism in the United States and elsewhere. I mentioned that I've been working with Dennis Lanham. I think he's actually listening in from Atlanta right now on building and launching the Black Corporate Board Program. And our intention is to obliterate the myth that there's a pipeline challenge. And the program's been extraordinarily successful. We finished two cohorts. We're launching a third in November. And it's really about a community coming together and taking collective action. And I think that same paradigm applies to moving forward with regenerative, inclusive food systems. Since I joined Malt, we adopted practices from the Racial Equity Playbook. That's racialequityplaybook.org for anyone interested, and launched an Indigenous Inclusion Initiative to help us really understand and recenter voices around what we're now framing as regenerative practices that have been inherent in Indigenous land stewardship, both locally with the Coast Miwok and others, and globally with other Indigenous communities. So in short, our vision is really to help drive a thriving and inclusive agricultural community in a healthy and diverse natural environment, and model the future of food systems in ways that are regenerative, that are inclusive, and are local.
Thane, this is really great news, music to my ears as a citizen of this community, to hear that Malt is taking on these ideas and concepts and will be putting them into practice in our community. You know, West Marin has always been a leader, and I think that this is a great opportunity for Malt to really step out in front. I wonder if in just the last few minutes, if we could just backtrack a little bit. I'm curious to know about some of the $500,000. What are the specific types of projects that are going into the sort of water resiliency program?
Yeah, so our focus, I mean, the drought is another severe economic pressure on local ranchers and farmers. It's driven up the cost of feed. A lot of people are having to truck water around, and those are kind of short-term issues. What we're thinking about is long-term issues. So water storage on land, retention of water on land, water capture from the tops of barns and other buildings, the ability to move water from one part of a farm or ranch to another. another, and the development of surface springs, which connects back to this concept of carbon farming. And if we can increase soil organic carbon, carbon and water are hydrophilic. That's pretty much what we are as humans. Mm-hmm. And we can keep more water in the soil, and that will feed these surface level springs without depleting the deeper aquifers. So those are the kinds of things that we're thinking about, is how do we keep more water on the land and make it more available to produce the food and fiber for all of us.
Fantastic. Are there any other things that you would like to tell the community?
Well, I think there's a few things. You know, at this stage in my life, I tend to reduce things to what I call first principles. And there's a couple I'd like to share. And thank you for having me again, Amanda. The first is that I would say that many of us in Marin County, and let's be really clear, it's not all of us, have the privilege of choosing what we eat. And with that privilege comes a responsibility to know where our food comes from, how it's produced, and how people who help produce it live. And you know, I'm thinking about Isabel Wilkerson's book, Caste, and one of the things that she says in there is the price of privilege is the moral duty to act. And that sort of brings me to a second of my first principles, which is that to build a world where everyone has sufficient and nourishing food, and that we're protecting and preserving and even enhancing biodiversity and addressing this huge monster of climate change, we need to take collective action. It's about working together as partners and as a community with a shared belief that we all deserve access to food, that we all deserve to have dignified livelihoods, and that food is part of our natural ecosystems. We would love to have you join us on the journey. We will be having another hike on some malt protected land on September 11th. You can find information about that on our website, malt.org. And as we begin going deeper into our strategic discernment process, we'll be hosting a series of conversations that will be open to the public on topics that I think I want to learn more about. And I hope the community will be interested in learning more about some of these interesting intersectional topics around regenerative agriculture and what that means when we lift up BIPOC voices and things like climate finance and ethnobotany. So hope to see some of your listeners on some of those conversations.
Yeah, and Thane, don't forget about KWMR in terms of a place to rebroadcast some of those conversations, because we know from hearing from our community that not everybody is connected to the internet all the time by choice or because their internet is crappy, and they can also enjoy hearing these discussions on the FM airwave. So we would love to partner with Malt going forward on some of these discussions.
Wow, that's an amazing offer, Amanda. Thank you so much. We'll definitely take you up on that.
Well, Thane Kreiner, thank you for joining me this morning on KWMR. I think it would be great to get Lottie Askill on the radio as well once he gets into his position and is working at Malt to hear what he's going to do in his new position of Director of Science and Regenerative Agriculture. And I look forward to continuing the conversation with Malt as we go forward.
Thanks, Amanda. Lottie is an amazing human being, and I know your listeners would love